Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
John 13 and verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. There are many times Jesus said, my hour is not yet come. But here he says, my hour was come. What hour? That he was going to be going to the cross, dying in our place for our sins. So his hour has come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. It's really a dark thing, isn't it? The idea that Satan can put into somebody's heart such a devious and wicked plan. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him or given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I mean, Peter was one of extremes, was he not? All right, just wash me all. No, Peter, that's your job. I'll take care of your feet. And so he goes on, verse number 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, and let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to sing, to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Thank you for a wonderful week that you've given so many of us, and we're just grateful for this time, this holiday season, to just pause and to express thanks to you. Lord, help that not just to be a holiday, but help it to be the constant demeanor of our heart. Lord, it's very, very evident that grateful hearts serve, that you call grateful hearts to service. You've given us this example of your own self when you were here on earth and how you served in the most menial task, in the task left to the servants, the lowest servants at that, and yet you did it. And you told us that we would be happy if we do it. We'd be happy if we serve. So I pray that you would help us as your people to be happy because we're serving. Truly, Lord, there is joy in serving you. And I pray that we'd find that joy. Lord, I ask that every single believer here would take it upon themselves to mimic what you have modeled for us here in this night of the Passover. Pray for your direction, your filling right now to give your truth. Lord, I pray for your filling upon each believer here to also hear your truth and to do it. So we just submit this time to you. We're grateful to be together. We love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Back at John chapter number 13, and kids are dismissed at Children's Church. I'm grateful you're here today, and on this holiday weekend, I'm grateful just to be able to be together, and want to challenge you with this thought, and hope that you'll carry this with you. I should say that the Lord recently encouraged my heart through this thought, through this passage of Scripture, and I really haven't been able to get away from it, and just felt like I needed to bring it to us as a church family. And so again, I know some are visiting with us today. I just invite you to all just gather in on this truth and this example from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just realize that wherever you are, maybe you're from out of town, but God wants you to serve where you are. And just know that what God's going to give us in His Word by Jesus' example is useful everywhere we are. So if that's here, praise the Lord. If that's somewhere else, praise the Lord. But let's serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not just be grateful to Him, but let's serve Him. I think about the matter of Jesus picking up a towel and how that was relegated to servants. And Jesus didn't leave that to someone else to do. He did it. And He showed that to us that night at the Passover dinner with His disciples, and how much that Jesus demonstrated to us that He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and ultimately to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. To give His life a ransom for you. That was the greatest service, wasn't it? No one could have done that but Jesus. You could not have done that for your family. You could not do that for your coworkers. Jesus came to minister to you and me. He's come to serve us, to give His life a ransom for many. But He was demonstrating something to His disciples that night. I want you to learn to serve. I want you to learn to get your towel and to serve. Today's message is entitled Dirty Towel Christians. Dirty Towel Christians. Jesus that night was going to get His towel dirty on some disciples' feet. Now, what about that? What about that? This whole thing of washing feet. There's a cultural element to that. They had dusty roads. Having just been over there in Israel and seen the roads and the terrain, we would pass through some of the terrain coming down from Galilee and Samaria down to Jerusalem, and it is just miles and miles of dusty hills. You can understand before paving and all that, the roads would have kicked up a lot of dust wearing sandals, and their feet would have been dirty. Sometimes when I go to tuck my kids into bed, I realize they've been running around and sometimes outside, and they are dirty, dirty, yuck. Go to the bathroom and wash your feet. Don't need a whole shower, but you do need to wash your feet. How many of you understand what I'm talking about there? I'm thankful for running water. But in those days, the cultural side of it was that in showing hospitality, you would prepare for the washing of your guests' feet. Not a fun task. But it was something that was left to the servants to wash feet. You come in, take off your coat, your outer garment, you get comfortable, and get your foot washed. Now, I know some churches today still practice that. I don't believe that Jesus was telling us that you need to still practice that outside of this culture. It was something that was very cultural, but it was also something that needed to be done. There's other things that need to be done in this day. They didn't have latrines like we have today, but they need to be washed and taken care of, and no one likes to do that. But in that day, there was cultural elements. In this day, there's different cultural elements. And Jesus demonstrated to us that He would get His towel dirty for the needs of His disciples. The disciples should have served Him. But He was willing, as their master, as their Lord, to serve. Even in our culture, though we wouldn't have a caste system like maybe over in India, but even in our culture, sometimes there's a pecking order. Sometimes inside of churches, sometimes inside of families, there's a pecking order, right? You get together for Thanksgiving, and there's where you sit. This is Dad's seat. This is Brother's seat. There's a pecking order. Who gets left cleaning up? There's a pecking order. And we find a little bit of that going on inside of the disciples. And in fact, we find that in this moment and other passages of Scripture, they're squabbling about who's the greatest. Jesus has said, Go prepare the Passover dinner. And they're squabbling about who's the best, who's the greatest, who's going to sit next to Jesus in the kingdom and all these things, who's going to have political clout. And Jesus cuts through all of that and gives us an example of getting out a towel and getting it dirty and loving His disciples in that way. That's a powerful thought. It's a thought that we ought to consider this Sunday after Thanksgiving. We can give thanks to the Lord, but the Lord says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with gladness. How do we serve the Lord? Many times in this life, it's by serving one another. What did Jesus say? If you give a cup of water in my name, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. You change a dirty diaper in the nursery, you've done it unto me if you've done it in Jesus' name. Right? You vacuum the floors, you've done it unto me. It's for Jesus if you've done it in his name. So he calls us to serve him with gladness. He calls us to serve him by serving others. I want you to notice down in verse number 3, by way of introduction, notice this, what Jesus says. He knows his hour has come, verse number 1, but he says here in verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. What Jesus is saying is he was going to be able to take back from Satan this promise that was given back in Genesis 3 and verse number 15. He was going to finally be able to bring salvation, a way of redemption, a way of reconciliation between sinful man and holy God. He was going to be able to affect this, make this possible by his work at the cross. And by that work, God had given him all things. That was a powerful moment that would happen there at Calvary. Satan thought he had won. He had thought he had won against humanity. He had tricked humanity into sinning and being separated from the Father. But Jesus came and the tables were shifted. The plans that Satan had were thwarted. God had given him all things, all power. He would break the power of sin, the penalty of sin. And one day he'd even lead us back to heaven, come and take us back to heaven where we'll be free from the presence of sin. Isn't that good? What a blessing. He had been given all things. But what's interesting to me is here Jesus is as God in the flesh, given all things, and yet the very next verse says he rises from supper. He rises from supper with a heart to serve. That's the example he lays down for us. Sometimes, and I've watched this, and perhaps you have in your job place, someone gets promoted. Someone, a coworker, gets promoted. And now they'd like to let you know that they're a little bit higher up in the job place than you. Have you ever seen that happen? I see some of you shaking your heads. I've seen people, and maybe you have too, that have destroyed their lives through their arrogance that after they got a promotion. And they stopped serving, they stopped caring about others, and they started wanting other people to serve them and letting people know that they're the boss and they're higher than everyone else, and they've destroyed their lives. They got too big for their britches. And they destroyed their lives because of arrogance. Jesus didn't call us to that. In fact, he told his disciples in Mark chapter number 10 that we weren't to be like the Gentiles. We weren't to be like the rulers that lorded over others. We were to be a servant. The greatest among you is not the one that is ministered to, but the one that ministers to others. We got to be careful about letting the worldly philosophy that is all around us in our workplaces and in culture around us to creep into our hearts where we think it's a matter of success. It's a statement of success to have people serving me. No, true success is in me getting my towel dirty and serving other people. Someone has said that the one with the dirtiest towel wins. You know, it's a play on he who has the most toys win. Well, all of these are worldly philosophies, but he who has the dirtiest towel wins. The one who has given their lives up in service to others win. Those are the ones that the Lord will be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful boss. Well done, thou good and faithful rich man. No, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. And so God calls us to serve him, and he gives us an example. Aren't you thankful that Jesus paints examples? Gives us vivid examples. He doesn't just tell us what to do, but he actually shows us what to do. And so we want to follow that, and it would be good for us to mimic the actions of the Savior right here. And I'm really thankful they're very, very simplistic. He rose up, he took a towel, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Very, very simple. It's not hard. This isn't a big theological lesson. This is an example that we need to study for a few moments, and I invite you to do that, and I invite you to mimic the Savior and getting a towel dirty in service to the Lord and to others around you, to others within this church, to your family. But to rise up, what the Lord did that night, he rose up from supper. Look at it with me. He rose up from supper. This was a Passover dinner. They were gathering together to share this dinner together. It was a long dinner. It wasn't just a short thing. It wasn't something that they breezed in and out of the restaurant together. No, they had prepared an upper room where they're going to gather together. And I believe this was a very serious family occasion between Jesus and his disciples. That night was the final time he would share this with his disciples. There was probably a lot, not probably, there was a lot on the heart of the Lord Jesus. His disciples back in Luke 22 have been told, commanded, to go prepare. They say, where? Well, go into the city. You're going to find a man carrying a pot of water. You talk to him, saying, the master has need of your room, and he's going to show you an upper room. There, make ready. You go there and get ready. You make ready the Passover dinner. You make ready for everyone to come. And they would have come together in this Passover dinner. It could have been 3 hours or more that they would have sat around, gone through the ceremony of the Passover, remembering back to when God's people were brought out of Egypt. The blood of the lamb was painted on the doorpost. And when the death angel came through Egypt to strike and to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians, he would see the blood on the Israelite doorpost, and the Bible says he would pass over that household. It's a picture of the blood being applied to our lives by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death passing over us. And so it was a beautiful picture of what Jesus would ultimately become, our Passover lamb, and they were going to celebrate this, but there was a ceremony they would go through, and it would take them quite some time to do so. They would sit there. Oftentimes in that culture, they would recline as they ate, and they would sit there in this time together, remembering back to the first Passover as God had commanded them to do. But in the midst of all this, I don't know how much time it was, whether it was 2 hours or 3 hours after they had come in, their feet all dusty from the travel, they came in, they're reclining, and in the reclining, maybe some feet got a little bit close to one another, and you know how none of us really like feet. Most of us aren't really super proud about our feet. How many of you say, well, I'm going to go there? Some of you ladies, you go get your pedicures and all that, and you wish your husbands would, or you know, wish your husband would take care of his feet a little bit more. But feet aren't super glamorous. And these feet were still unwashed. They're together there, and they're still unwashed. They needed to be, and they're still unwashed. Perhaps they smelled a little bit, but Jesus, seeing this occasion, and a very serious occasion, a spiritual moment with his disciples, in the midst of all this, Jesus sees that something is undone. He sees that something was forgotten, neglected. There are 12 men there. There are 12 men there that could have risen up and washed feet. 12. Guys, how many of you are with me? Sometimes we miss things. Don't leave me standing up here alone. Come on, guys. Your wives tell you. Your mom might tell you, right? Help your husband put up his arm. Sometimes we miss things. These guys are classic guys. Go get the dinner ready. Prepare. Oh, yeah. What about the basin? What about the towel? What about that part? There was no preparation for the washing of the feet, no preparation for this important cultural element that was to a part of hospitality. There was no preparation for this. They just did what was asked of them, not more. Sometimes we're like that. We do what is asked of us, but not more. Jesus sees this scenario, and he says, listen, I'm going to take this on myself. He rises up with the intention to serve his disciples. I think there were some reasons why these guys didn't. Luke 22 tells us they were fighting with one another, even at this great spiritual moment. It's amazing, even sometimes as churches come together, there's strife that goes on under the scenes. Pastor might not hear about it, might not see about it. Others might not see it, but it's going on behind the scenes. It's with a glance or with a glare. It's with, I'm not going to give a shake to that person. I'm going to get out of here as fast as possible, whatever the case may be. The strife that was circulating among the disciples, and it was, who's the greatest? What's the pecking order? What's the pecking order? Who should serve? I don't need to. I don't need to clean up. I don't need to take out the trash. And there was strife going on. Luke 22 and verse 24, there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Which should be declared the greatest? You know, when there's strife going on, the last thing in our minds is to get in a dirty towel. When there's ego involved, the last thing in our minds is getting a dirty towel. I'm not going to serve. I'll act like I didn't see the problem. And so what's going on here, there's 12 men who are ignoring the fact that there are 13 dusty feet that need to be washed. Jesus' feet needed to be washed. I don't know if he washed his own, or if one of the disciples later got the message, oh, I'll wash Jesus's. The Bible doesn't tell us. But there's all these feet that need to be washed, and they're striving together about who's the greatest. And Jesus had told them, the Gentiles exercise lordship. This isn't to be the way that you go about it. You aren't to be fighting like this. There was ego involved. And listen, this happens among women too. This isn't just guys. Right? Right, ladies? And strive, the pecking order. And it might be a little bit more strategic, less out in front. Guys sometimes just blurt it out what the problem is. Who's the greatest? Ladies kind of, you know, behind the scenes, they muffle and they might say it to one another. Come on, ladies. You're all like, I'm going to keep my head really, really, really straight. No shaking head. It happens. Grumbling about each other. Nitpicking each other. Can you believe what she was wearing? That didn't. We let it go to that. Ego. You know the test, someone has once said, the test of whether we are a servant is if we react when we're treated like one. So many times we react. Do they just expect me to do all the work? There was ego going on there. Maybe one of the disciples thought, well, Judas should, or Peter should. Someone else will do this. Someone else will wash the feet. I sure wish they'd get to it. My feet are dusty. And so many things that could have been happening there. The other thing was they're reclined and they're eating. They're in the midst of this dinner. It's pretty comfortable. I don't want to get up and get a bowl of water and get a towel. I don't want to bother with that. Maybe we can just ignore the problem long enough and we'll be on our way and it won't actually be something that actually has to get done. And just delaying it, and we're comfortable. We're comfortable. You know, I think about our comfort zones. Very little that has happened in my life of eternal value has happened inside of a comfort zone. Most of the time, God was calling me beyond what I was comfortable with. When he called me to preach, it was beyond what I was comfortable with. I had such bad stage fright, I didn't want to be in front of people. I wanted to do something else. It was outside of my comfort zone. Can you identify with me on that? There's times you're asked to do something, and your initial response might be, I'm not comfortable with that. And that's not really an excuse, especially in the service of the Lord. Lord, if you'll give me the grace to do it, I'll do it. If that's what you're asking me to do, I'll do it for you. But God is going to call us outside of our comfort zones, and helping other people and washing dusty feet is going to require us to get up and out of our comfort zone like Jesus, to rise up. Some of the disciples might have been there saying, it's not my job. It's a servant's job. And that was true in that culture. It was a servant's job. And none of them were going to say, it's my job. All of them were saying, it's someone else's. It's not mine. 12 men sitting there saying that. Perhaps some of them were just preoccupied. You and I know what it is to be preoccupied. I've missed opportunities to serve people because I was preoccupied. I had a lot going on in my mind. How many agree that being present is a difficult thing? I find that sometimes I have to war for that. Even as I come into church on a Sunday to be present, there's things going on in my mind. Maybe you war with that. You come in here and there's things on your mind. I imagine some of these guys had things on their mind. I know Judas did. It wasn't a good thing on his mind. He's going to betray Jesus. I'm certain he wasn't super comfortable that night or free to serve. I don't know what Peter had going on in his mind, or John, or the others, James. But I can be certain of this, that Jesus had more on his mind and on his heart than any one of those disciples or any one of us coming in here this Sunday morning. In just a few hours, he's going to be betrayed by one of the guys sitting in that room. Jesus knew all things. He was going to be going to a mock trial through the night. Jesus was going to be falsely accused by people paid off to accuse him. They couldn't even get their witness to agree. He was going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane across the valley, and he was going to pray there, and he was going to pray with such burden on his heart that he would sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Literally blood vessels breaking in his brow over the stress that he was under. Was he feeling it here at the supper with his disciples? I have no doubt. He would be have his beard torn out of his face. He would have a crown of thorns put on his head. Do you think Jesus had something on his mind? He would have to carry his cross after being beaten ruthlessly by Roman soldiers with a cat of nine tails, his back opened and bloodied, the loss of blood, the weakness that comes from that. Jesus was facing all of this. He would carry his cross. He would stumble on his way. Another would be charged to take it to Calvary. He would be put on that cross, his hands, his feet nailed to that cross. How gruesome. You think what happens when you get a paper cut? It hurts. And Jesus had nails, spikes driven through his hands and his feet. He was taken and he would be put up, the cross dropped into place. The Bible says his bones weren't broken, but they were out of joint. His visage was so marred that no one could recognize him. Jesus knew the death he was facing. He was willing to take that death, Philippians chapter 2. Even the death of the cross, it says. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This death that was a curse, he was willing for that. That was on the heart of the Lord Jesus. He'd go to the garden and he would pray, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. There's another way to go about saving humanity and bringing about redemption and reconciliation. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. He would carry all the sin of all mankind on his shoulders. That was on his mind. That's why he came. Every single one of our sins would be on his shoulder. Think of the weight of sin in our lives individually. Think about the burden of sin that comes on our minds and our hearts when we're struggling with it and we don't want to get it right and we don't want to do what is necessary to get it out of our lives. Think about that. Jesus would bear all of the weight of our sin on his shoulders. Be forsaken of the Father. Father would turn his back on him while his wrath was poured out upon our sin that Jesus didn't commit, but he took it for us. Bible says he would taste death for every man. He'd literally die our death. That's what Jesus had on his mind. Can we say we're too preoccupied to serve? Could these disciples say, we have too much going on in our lives to serve? There's too much going on in my mind, too many burdens to be free to serve? Jesus had many, and yet he rose up from supper and he served. If we are going to be a dirty towel Christian, if we're going to be a person that gets our towel dirty in service to one another and to God, we have to be willing to rise up, to get out of our comfort zone and do something about what we see. See the need and take the lead, one man has said. See the need and take the lead. What is it that I need to serve? Well, pastor should get someone to take care of that. Well, you saw the need. You saw the need. Let's serve. You know, there's times that it's something that pastor needs to take care of or needs to direct, but there's other times it could be served. It could just be accomplished by seeing the need, taking the lead. Sometimes people look at it, well, you know, it's the pastor's responsibility, it's the deacon's responsibility, Sunday school's responsibility. Hey, listen, You saw the need. This is your church. This is your church. See the need. Take the lead. Do something about it. Someone else will pick up the trash. Someone else will pick up the candy wrapper. Someone else will do that. I can pass by. We ought to learn. We ought to learn as servants, folks desiring to get our towels dirty, to keep our heads and eyes peeled for things that need to be taken care of and picked up. Just do it. So, well, I can't do that on Sunday morning, but I'll come on Monday morning and I'll take care of that. I'll come at some other time, I'll take care of that. This is our church together. We are the church family, right? Amen. This building isn't the church. This isn't some organization. This is an organism, and we are a part of it. Whether you're new or whether you've been here many, many years, we all have a part in this wonderful thing God calls a church family. Sure wish they'd staffed that. Sure wish they'd get another Sunday school class. Sure wish that they would have enough nursery workers. See the need, take the lead. I want to encourage you about that. I want to encourage you to do your part. If something is flagging in your mind, there's a need in the church, God is likely showing that to you so you can do something about it. So that you can be a help. And that you can help. Listen, we all just came through Thanksgiving. And we all understand the family dynamics, like, you know, an overrun kitchen or whatever, and maybe dishes that need washed, and family members say, that's not my issue. Someone else will take care of it, right? We all understand that. We all see that in a family dynamic, but it happens right inside of churches all the time. It happens where we see a need, and, well, someone else is going to do it. It's not my job. I'm not really good at washing dishes. I'm not really good at taking out trash. I'm not really good at trimming the edges or whatever it is. You see the need. Take the lead. This is your church. Something I've often seen, and it's a little mind shift. Sometimes people come into church and maybe even been a part of it for a long time, and they'll refer to the church as that church or they. And I pretty much know at that point that they have not yet adopted it as my church. They haven't taken ownership. And it changes the way people serve. I can pretty much know if a person is serving by the way they refer to the church family. If they have a heart of service. And if you have this mindset, it's that church. That's the church I attend. It's that church, they versus me, as opposed to us. This is our church together, and if there's a need, we serve together. We meet the need because this is our, it's not pastor's church, it's our church together. It's our church family, and we own it together. We serve together, take ownership. Jesus exemplified initiative here. Leaders take initiative. Servants take initiative. The light bulb's out, the squeaky door. You know what, if there's a squeaky door? So let's get practical. In your home, if there's a squeaky door, what do? Get the WD-40. Do you think that anyone would be upset if you heard a squeaky door in a classroom? You said, I'm bringing my WD-40 the next time I come to church, and I'm going to take care of that squeaky door. Well, pastor will take, someone, one of the deacons will take care of it. What would happen if you took care of it? There wouldn't be any more squeaky door. It'd be done. You see, we see the need, we take the lead. Whatever the case may be, we take care of what is in front of us, what God is showing to us. We look at a person. Well, they've been missing a lot sometimes, and I think it's appropriate if you're burdened about someone to, hey, pastor, I'm worried about this person. I think that's appropriate. But sometimes it might be just as appropriate for you to pick up the phone and schedule a coffee. I'm worried about this person. I want to encourage them and pray with them. I'm not going to go to them and say, where have you been? How many of you would agree that's not the right way to approach that? Principle I've learned and try to practice, fix with fellowship first. Fix with fellowship first. In other words, let's just go have coffee together. Let's share a meal together. Let's see what's on the heart. And friends, it can make a big, big difference. You see that. They need it encouraged. Sometimes people come in and out of a church service, and they're down in their face, and you might run over to the pastor and say, hey, what's wrong with this person? I don't know. Did you ask? Did you ask if you could pray with them? Did you see if you could get your towel dirty with them? Well, it's none of my business. Is this not your church family? Maybe they needed your arm around their shoulder. Maybe they needed to cry about something. Maybe they needed you to get your towel dirty in their life and encourage them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. We're to be constantly considering each other is what the Bible tells us. Thinking about where are they? How are they doing? It is our business to care. Now there is a difference between considering one another, as the Bible tells us, and being nosy. Right? Do we understand that difference? There are times where people, they're not going to tell you, and that's their prerogative. But you can say, I'm going to be praying for you. And you can say that at church and then reach out to them on Tuesday and say, I've prayed for you, and I just want you to know I've prayed for you. You know what a difference that would make? What is that, getting your towel dirty? Helping them. Hey, do you need anything? Oh, you need something moved. I'll come and help you. Whatever the case may be, we're taking ownership and we're seeing needs and we're meeting them in the needs that are in front of us. So Jesus rises up. He takes his initiative. That's a pretty simple thing that we can all do. Rise up from where we are and do something about it with the intention of doing, not with the intention of, well, let's see, who else can do it? I'll rise up and make sure Pastor knows about it. I'll rise up and make sure Brother Frank knows about it. No, let's rise up. Is this something I can handle? Jesus rose up from dinner, from that long dinner, and notice what he did next. He laid aside his garments. He laid aside his garments. These are the outer garments. It would be akin to me rising up. If we needed to move something, if we needed to move that piano, do you know what I'd probably do? I'd take off this jacket. Like, it's not necessary. It's going to get in the way. I'm probably going to tear it out. I'm trying to lift the piano. Or if we needed to do something, I might start rolling up my sleeves, right? If we needed to wash a floor or clean up some sort of spill, might start to roll up the sleeves. That's what Jesus was doing. He was simply getting ready to be able to serve in an unhindered way. He laid aside his garments. Now, we'd all say that the garments weren't sinful. Weren't sinful. They were part of his wardrobe. And Jesus didn't have sin. Jesus didn't have something, wrong written on these garments that he needed to get rid of. These were simply in the way that would hinder him from being able to serve effectively and without a problem. In the Old Testament, we hear the girding up of the loins. As they would go out into the fields, they'd gird up the loins of their robes. They'd gird up their robes and get them up so they could serve or work in an unhindered way. What was Jesus doing? He was simply laying aside his garment so that he could serve in an unhindered way. There are things in our lives that are sinful and we need to lay apart, right? But there are many things in our lives that are not necessarily sinful that we need to lay aside in order to serve effectively. It might be a schedule. It might be a preference. It might be a Christian liberty. Romans 14 talks to us a lot about that. Something that I can do. It's lawful for me to do, but it's not expedient for me. It doesn't help me to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't help me to be a blessing to other people. It gets in the way. And so these are things that we might lay aside. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience. So we're to lay it aside. There it tells us to do both. To lay aside the weights, maybe not necessarily bad, but they're bogging us down, and the sin which does so easily beset us. So I encourage you, lay aside sin. But what Jesus is doing here is laying aside what is unnecessary and what would get in the way of him serving his disciples. What do you need to lay aside? I find that as people come together in a church, there are some things that we've just become so busy with in life. They're not necessarily bad, but it leaves us no room to serve one another. We got to run into church, sit down, and we got to run out of church in order to keep our schedule. And we don't have any time to consider one another. That's something that needs laid aside. Why? Because God told you to consider one another. You cannot serve running here and there and do all that. What what in your schedule could be laid aside in order for you to serve wholeheartedly one another. You say, you're talking about deck the halls. You know, deck the halls is, you know, the Christmas decorations isn't what it's all about. It's about serving together. You know, it used to be one person would come in and take care of the whole church. You know what's a blessing is to be able to just come together as a church family and just serve. But sometimes we're so cumbered down that we can't take that time to spend together with the church family and serve one another. If we're going to be a dirty towel Christian, we have to lay aside some things. We have to lay aside some life plans. We have to lay aside some dreams and ambitions in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not bad. Maybe it's a geographic location. Maybe it's somewhere that you really want to be someday, but God says, I want you to lay aside something that's not bad, but it's going to hinder you from serving me as I want you to. It's going to get in the way. Maybe it's a hobby. Listen, God can take even your hobbies and use them to help you serve other people, but sometimes the hobby has more control of us than us control of the hobby. And it keeps us from serving the Lord as we ought to. In this day of technology, the devices that we have and the entertainment, all the electronics, sometimes drains hours out of our weekly schedule, and we don't even realize it. And it might not be bad, but it's certainly hindering us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it might be a device that we need to sell. 3 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours a week on video games, or serving the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, Pastor, don't you know who you're talking to? I have met people that are in their 60s that are hooked on video games, that aren't serving their families, that aren't serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're hooked here. It's not just a young person's thing. And you say, well, it's not bad, but your towel's pretty clean, isn't it? Your towel's not getting dirty in service to other people. And so it might be something we need to lay aside, a preference, a schedule, a personality. Well, that's just the way I am. Oh, well, that just settles it. Okay, case closed. Just the way you are. Well, I'm a private person. Learn how not to be. Learn to open up. You don't need to air your dirty laundry and tell everyone what you had for dinner and what pills you take for medicine and et cetera. But, you know, open up. Sometimes Christians get so isolated. God told us to consider one another. Lay aside those preferences and those things, those personalities, and consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Serve one another. Get your towel dirty for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus rose up. He laid aside some things that weren't sinful, but certainly weren't helpful to him serving his disciples. What did he do next? Simply took a towel. That's pretty practical, isn't it? He took a towel. He took a tool that he was going to use to serve his disciples. He was going to get it dirty in service to them. Even to Judas and Peter, he was going to serve these guys, and he was going to get his towel dirty for them. He took a towel. You know, what's interesting to me, we believe here at Grace that every member should be a servant. And I believe that based on Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, that we're all to be being perfected, matured for the work of the ministry. So that's something that we stand on, we work towards, every member having a place of service. And some would say, you know, how am I going to serve? I don't have any special talent. I don't have any giftedness. I don't have any experience. Here that night, Jesus just took a simple rag, a towel, and used it in service to others. Let me ask it to you this way. What towel has God given you to serve with? What gift, what empowerment has God given to you to get dirty in service to other people? You say, not me. He didn't give me anything. He passed right over me. It's not true. The Bible multiple times tells us that God has given us something with which to serve. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 7 says the manifestation of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the context of the church and the giftedness, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Ephesians 4:16 says, as we come together, we are to encourage one another by that which we all supply to one another, and we edify the body as we function together with our gifts. So every single one of us has something that the Holy Spirit has given to us with which to serve. God has given you a towel, something with which to serve. And it might be a physical towel, but the reality is each one of us have a spiritual gift with which we can serve this body. And we ought to think that way. We ought to rise up, gird ourselves, you know, roll up our sleeves, take off the garments, the things that would hinder us, and we ought to serve the Lord. All the way throughout Scripture, we find individuals that serve the Lord. You think about the widow of Zarephath. She served the prophet by baking the last of her meal and her oil and giving a cake, giving refreshment to him. You say, well, that wasn't much. It was what was needed. She did it in faith to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her in 1 Kings chapter number 17. She had that meal, and she had that oil, and she did something with it for the Lord, and the Lord rewarded her. Mary had an alabaster box that she broke over Jesus' feet. Martha loved to work in the kitchen. We often give Martha a black eye because she was cumbered about with serving. Yes, she was. But she did love the kitchen, and she did a good job at it. It was her gift. She just needed to do it with a different attitude. God didn't say, stop working in the kitchen. He says, you're cumbered. Don't be cumbered. Don't be bogged down with it. Don't get grumpy in the kitchen. Come on, ladies. But she did have that gift. She did have that gift. The woman at the well had a testimony in town of a changed life, and she went and used it. The little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus used it. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb. And you want to think how dirty he got, along with Nicodemus getting Jesus off the cross and hauling his body to the tomb? Talk about getting a towel dirty for the Lord. Barnabas had some land in a time of need, and he was able to sell it and give the proceeds to a fund at the church to help distribute to the neediness within the congregation. We had land. Not everyone had land, but Barnabas did, and that's how he used it. Barnabas had a spirit to console, to encourage. What did he do every time? Are you doing okay, brother? Can I pray with you? Can we get together and talk about the Bible? And every time you got around Barnabas, he was always consoling, encouraging someone. That was Barnabas. Not everyone was that way. You say, I really struggle to encourage people. I always seem to leave people discouraged, not encouraged. Well, okay, you don't try to encourage. You do what God has given you. You use your towel for the Lord. Barnabas was a son of encouragement. Dorcas. Who's she? She's a lady in Acts. She had a sewing machine. I know she probably didn't have a sewing machine like today, but she made coats for people. She had a gift of putting together clothes, you know, to cut out a pattern. There's some of you ladies that have a gift like that. You use it for the Lord. How can I use that in service to the Lord? There's some kids that come through here that might need something. Whatever the case may be, you knit. Use it for the Lord. The Philippian jailer. What? Yeah, he had a house after he came to Christ, and he used it to wash up Paul and Silas. He gave them dinner there. He just used it for the Lord. Quill and Priscilla, they had a tent-making company. Well, you know, they should just be all for the Lord and serving the Lord. They did with their tent-making company. Paul, you can work with us. We'll help you raise the funds. Paul, we'll encourage you. You remember what they did? They were sitting over in Ephesus, and they heard Apollos preach, and, well, something's a little off in his doctrine. He didn't quite understand some of what God was revealing. They took him aside privately, and they explained the way of the Lord more perfectly to him. Look at these people just serving with what they had. They just took what God had given them, their talent, and they began to serve. Peter and John up at the temple. Acts chapter 2. Silver and gold have I none. Oh, I guess I can't serve. I can't give anything. No, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They shared Jesus with that guy, and he was saved that day and ran through the temple complex, praising and leaping and praising the Lord. They just used what they had. We all have a testimony. We all have a day. If you've come to Jesus Christ, we all have a day. We came to Jesus Christ and accepted him as our Savior. Timothy had time and strength as a young teenager to travel with the Apostle Paul. Paul, I'll help you off the boat. I'll carry your bag. I'll stay there in Thessalonica. I'll make sure that the people are doing okay. I'll bring back a report. And he just used what he had time as a young man. He didn't have a family at that point. And think about that. He had time. Some of you have time. Some of you say, you know, I sit back at home and I just don't do anything. There's some things that could be done around here with that time. You have time. That's where you are in life right now. You say, Pastor, I am busy in my work from Monday to Saturday. I don't have much time. You may have another towel that God has given you. You can serve with. Maybe you're at a point where you can give. But you have something God has given you with which to get dirty in service to him. Use it for the Lord. Jason, in Acts 17, had a house that the new church could meet in, even though they were under persecution. What do you have? What's your towel that God has given to you? He's given to every one of us a spiritual gift with which to serve. And I believe there's enough towels in this church family, whether represented here today or still traveling around for Thanksgiving, there are enough towels in this church family to meet the needs of this church family and to meet the needs of the community around us that God has given us in which to minister. Don't you believe that? There's enough towels. There's enough talent. There's enough resources. There is enough. Sometimes we stand back and go, oh, no, we're just kind of victims of our circumstances. No, there is enough. God has perfectly fitted his church to serve in the areas that he has given us to serve. He has given you what you need to serve. You can't stand back. So my encouragement to you is you need to rise up like Jesus, lay aside some things, and it might be just laying aside this constant excuse, I don't have anything with which to serve. Case closed. There are believers who will spend their lives that way. I don't have anything with which to serve. Yes, you do. You must believe it and accept it by faith. Now, I will caution us that some people get really picky in how they serve. Well, I'll serve if everything's just perfect. Nothing's going to be just perfect for you to serve. There will always be a problem and a challenge. Do you agree with me about that? Yeah. We're people. We're messy. There's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be a challenge to work through. And if you expect everyone to make it a perfect environment in which you can serve, it'd be better for you not to pick up the towel because you're going to mess something up. Now, I'm not encouraging you to stay there, but it's very, very serious when we get this mentality that all the servants around us who are serving need to cater to my preferences and how I serve. No, we should all work together to the best of our ability, but when we take up that towel, we're taking on the mind of the servant, Jesus Christ, who's willing to serve and not put any limitations on the service. So take up the towel. Take up the towel. What did Jesus do? He took up that towel and began to wash. Look at verse number 5. And he poureth water into a basin, another tool. God's given you a towel and a basin. He's given what you need. And began to wash his disciples' feet. Didn't qualify who, just the disciples. To wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Boy, it got dirty, I have no doubt. Got some marks on it. Maybe a spot Jesus missed in between the toes. Began to get it dirty for them. Wash their feet. Now let's just think about it. That's gross. I probably would have been like Peter. I'm washing my feet. That's not something I want Jesus having to do. I imagine in Peter's mind there was a little bit of embarrassment because Peter hadn't gotten up and washed. Wash the feet. It's a bit awkward. I'm sure. I mean, it was a little bit different culturally. I guess if we had a foot washing ceremony in here, we'd all feel a little bit awkward, wouldn't we? I would. But Jesus just did it. You know, sometimes serving is awkward. Sometimes serving is gross. There's some things we get called to do, just gross. You know, spill in the bathroom, just gross. Not fun. Someone has to do it. Someone has to take care of that. We've all been woken up, if your parents have children, we've all been woken up in the middle of the night and there's been something gross to deal with. We got over for Thanksgiving. The first night we were over there, one of my daughters woke up in the middle of the night, and boy, she it was just gross. I'm thankful for washer machines. But you know, in that moment, I could chide her, and that's what sometimes as Christians we do. That would be the wrong thing to do, wouldn't you agree? Or I can just lovingly just step in and serve and get my hands dirty and deal with the yuck in order to serve. It's no different in our church family. Sometimes we have to deal with yuck. Sometimes we have to deal with junk. And we can sit there and say, well, I shouldn't have to. Well, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe they made a mess that if they were thinking, it wouldn't have had to happen that way. But sometimes we have to lovingly and sometimes just quietly deal with yuck. Wouldn't you agree? Is your life so perfect you never made a mess? I mean, we've all made messes before. I've made messes here before that have to be dealt with. And the reality is we just must deal with them. Now, when a servant was doing this, when a servant was washing the feet, after they got done, the room would not erupt in clapping for them. Yay, the servant did his job. No. The servant would just complete the job and walk out of the room and leave them to do their thing. I don't think that night that the disciples all clapped for Jesus. I think they were rebuked in their spirit. Sometimes we get so caught up in having to get credit. And friends, I've been there far too many times, far more times than I'm willing to even admit, wanting credit for something God should just have gotten the glory for. And it will hinder us from serving if we are all consumed. I got to get credit. There might be things you've done in this church, and what is holding you back from serving now is you didn't get credit. And it's something you need to lay aside. It's something you need to say, well, you know what? Did God get glory? Then I'm good. I'm good. Even if no one knows, or we don't go anywhere beyond this, no one knows, God gets the credit, and that's all that matters to me. Nothing was beneath Jesus. Jesus had a serving mentality. Nothing was beneath him. And think about who he's washing the feet of in that room. Peter, who would deny him that night, and Judas, who would betray him. Can you imagine the eye contact with Judas that night? Can you imagine coming to Judas's feet and beginning to wash his feet that night? Can you imagine? Peter didn't think he was going to betray him, so Peter's still pretty confident. But Judas knows what he's done. And they have no doubt some interaction. Doesn't seem verbally, but I have no doubt in the eyes. And yet Jesus washed his feet. You know, sometimes in church life, you will wash people's feet. You will do something for people that you know have gossiped or hurt you or done something wrong that you just simply need to wash their feet. Serve them. You know, sometimes I preach messages to people I know, and I serve people, and I'm there at the end of a phone call, people I know who haven't always treated me right in their family gatherings. There have been times, it's a reality, we have to wash feet. I'm not the example. Jesus is. He washed Judas's feet. That's powerful, friends. We get so catty about who we serve. Well, they did this to me, and I'm not going to undo that for them. I'll never give them another thing. We get so, don't we? All right, come on now. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Nothing was beneath him. This was a job for the lowliest servant. Nothing was beneath Jesus. And if we will be a dirty towel Christian, nothing can be beneath us. And nothing is for our credit. It's all for his glory. It has to be. We need to get really good at saying when someone comes to us and says, hey, thank you for doing that, praise the Lord. The Lord enabled me. Thank the Lord. He helped me. That's not being weird about things. That's just giving the glory where it needs to go. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We need to be that way in getting our towels dirty, heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. So Jesus took a towel that night and he got it dirty. He got it dirty for his disciples. My encouragement to you is, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we've thanked the Lord, but the Bible connects Thanksgiving to service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's get some towels dirty this Christmas season. We go into 2024. What is going to be your place of service and getting your towel dirty at Grace Baptist Church and in your family? What things need laid aside? What towel needs to be taken up? What gift needs to be identified? Yes, I do have a gift. I've just been squandering it. I need to use it for the Lord. Maybe it's you. You need to just join and say, I'm going to be a part. I'm going to commit to this body. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing here. And I'm going to get my towel dirty for the Lord. I'm going to have a place of regular service for the Lord. I'm going to use the time that God has given me. Let's get our towels dirty. Jesus showed us it. And what was that last verse that we read together? Look down at verse number 17. John 13 and verse number 17. And it'd help if I get in the right chapter. Verse number 17, ready, begin, out loud. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Some of the grumpiest, most critical believers I've ever met have very clean towels. They never have a good word to say about what happened at the church, but they're never willing to step in and say, I'll be a part of the serving. If you'll get your towel dirty, it will change your perspective about what God is doing here. The people that know God is working here are the ones with the dirtiest towels. People say, God isn't doing anything at Grace Baptist Church. You probably don't have a dirty towel. It's time to get some towels dirty. You say, Pastor, this is a challenging message. Yes. And I was challenged in the same way. I need to be a dirty towel pastor. I can't be concerned who gets the credit. I can't be concerned with who serves me. I have been called to this place to get my towel dirty for Grace Baptist Church and for my family. And I want you to do the same thing for the glory of God. Let's get our towels dirty. We're back in Indiana for Thanksgiving, and I really thank the Lord for the extra time that the Lord has given us with my mom. Many of you have asked, and I appreciate your prayers for her. But she had a cardiac arrest earlier this year, and she had the defibrillator implanted, and the Lord's blessed her recovery. She still struggles in strength. She's getting a lot more naps than maybe she used to. She's trying to stay active and walk. But we have a picture here of our family together. There's only one of the family missing here, and My mom's just continuing to do what my mom does, serve. She's in the kitchen, and I was trying to help her wash up, and she said, go sit down. You can't do all the dishes. But that's my mom. That's who she's been since I can remember. It was something that struck us as we, late Thanksgiving night, spent some time just saying what we're thankful for. When it came to my mom, my dad thanked the Lord that he still has his wife, and that's very precious. The Lord used him to do CPR and saved her life, broke all sorts of ribs doing CPR that night, and the doctor says, you saved her life. But my mom, when it came to her, she's thankful for life, but she says, the Lord's left me here on earth for some reason. And then she goes on to say, and I'm just going to use this time to witness. She says, I've been able to give tracts to doctors. I'm just going to use this time to witness. You know, that's not a strange thing for me to hear from my mom. It didn't seem like, wow, that was a total paradigm shift. She's been serving the Lord for 47 years in that same place alongside of her husband. And I know there have been some times that there's been hurt. I've watched her walk through hurt. I've watched my dad walk through hurt and still get up and serve. My dad, being a maintenance man, he served in some pretty difficult, yucky places. But I was just thankful for the example of someone that has gotten their towel dirty, not just for us, but for the Lord Jesus Christ many, many times. And when God gave an extension of life, the testimony is, I'm just going to continue to serve. I'm going to serve people with the gospel. I'm going to get into people's lives and to watch it. God's given us many examples, even within this church, of people that get their towels dirty for Jesus. I'm thankful for that. It is truly humbling to sit back and watch some of you who have success in your careers serve in lowly places behind the scenes in this church family. Not a gripe, not a grumble. And I praise the Lord for that. But I want to call our whole church family and everyone, every believer here, to recommitting to that. I'm going to get my towel dirty. Maybe it's a perspective change. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm just going to do it and be like Jesus. I'm just take the initiative. See the need, take the lead. I'm going to get my towel dirty for the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me specific places where to get that towel dirty. But I am going to have a dirty towel for the Lord. I am going to serve him. I am going to do what he showed to me. And the Bible says, happy are ye if you do it. You want to be happy? There's joy in serving Jesus. You grumpy today? Find a place to serve. He says, he's the one that says, there is joy, there's happiness there. And so this morning, I have for you towels. And I was given this towel. And the Lord so impressed on this on my heart, I don't often re-preach, and I've made this my own. But I was impressed with this thought. This is the towel God has given me to serve Grace Baptist in Kettering this season of my life. We're all here. God has placed us here. And we need to serve him with dirty towels. And so I am just simply giving to you what God has put in my heart. And I'm going to ask us to come, to grab a towel. I'll give it to you. And I want you to find a place to kneel and pray. Lord, help me to get this towel dirty for you. If you're not a member yet, I want you to come. But I'm encouraging you to join in, commit to this body of believers, be a part of what God is doing. Get your towel dirty for him. You're from out of town? That's fine. Take this towel back home. Get it dirty for Jesus Christ. You aren't a believer yet? Today's the day of salvation. Get your towel. Let's come to Jesus. Let's get that settled today. You need to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity today. You don't need to waste another day. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Don't be like a Judas that rejects it. Don't be like a Judas receiving other people's service. You come to Jesus today, believe on him before it's too late. So would you stand with me? And right now, I'm just going to ask you to come get a towel. And in the quiet of this moment, even without a piano, let's find places to pray all throughout this building. And God's moving in your heart. I want you to get your towel dirty like Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, as we just have a time with you before we leave this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, it's so great to be able to praise you for all the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. But right now, you've asked us also to pick up a towel. You showed it to us. It's simple, but we need to do it. You said that we'd be happy if we do it. So, Lord, right now I pray that there would be many happy believers in this room who would pick up their towel, recommit, or commit for the first time to getting it dirty in service to you and service to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you just to come. I'll give you a towel, but I want you to take it and pray to the Lord about this matter. We all understand that this isn't a special towel. I haven't blessed it with anything. And if I did, it wouldn't help you. But this is just a mental picture Mine's in my office. Yesterday, I prepared this message with this laid out on my desk. Why? Because this is what God has given me to do. You're not the pastor. That's my towel. But you're a member. You're a key member of what God is doing here in this place. So now, your job is to get your towel dirty for the Lord. And it might start today. It will. Someone needs your encouragement today. And it might be a journey that you start on. Lord, what is my place? It might mean you schedule a meeting with myself or a deacon and say, where can I serve? But I'm not going to go another month without a place to serve. I want to serve. And so I know that this might open up some questions about where, but let's have those conversations. But most of all, look around, see the need, take the lead. You see trash, you see needs, you see people needs, meals that need to be taken. See the need, take the lead. Can we do that, church family, for the glory of God? Let's ask Him to help us with that. Father, You are the one that took the towel first, and we look to You as our Savior and as our model. Lord, I pray that You would keep us from seeking attention or from belittling the towel that You have given to us, the gift, the resource, the time. Or, Lord, allowing something, some garment, some preference to get in the way of serving You. Father, help us to be dirty towel Christians. Help us to be believers who are constantly serving others, no matter who's looking, because we know that You always are. So we ask for Your strength in this, and I pray that You would edify and grow Your church because of what we've learned here today. And we will thank You for what You do. And it's in Your name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thanks for being here today. I look forward to seeing you tonight. 6 o'clock is our service. 5 o'clock for choir practice. Pastor Shaw will be preaching to us. And I'm sure he'll share a little bit where they are. But we look forward to being together tonight. Go use your towels. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit graceketering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.